All right, y'all, it's spring, and you know what that means. It's time to start planning our summer festival traveling. Yep, it's time to get into my Airbnb bag cross-country, a.k.a. Time to visit my homes all across the country. And you know what I never think about? Why not list my own spot on Airbnb and host some folks at my house? I mean, my house is cute. Yes, let's make money while we're spending money. Just trying to help you out, man, because your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Questlove Supreme is a production of iHeartRadio.
Man, I better make this intro special, right? Okay, ladies and gentlemen, everybody's searching for a hero. People need someone to look up to. No, I'm only playing. No, actually, to be frank, our guest is a true hero. There's literally no human being on Earth who's not heard of our guest. Like, seriously, you don't even need to hear my voice anymore. But just for formality's sake, yes, we can go hip-hop legend, the first hip-hop Grammy winner, sitcom legend on one of the most beloved, important family shows in TV history.
A Golden Globe winner. Yes.
Well, yeah. Ooh, yeah. Ooh. That's new. That's
we're
new.
We're now skipping Fonte. Oh. You didn't think that was on my... No, I'm playing. No, but seriously, like, let's not take it lightly that he has been a premier action hero, one of the most highest paid actors. I believe 17 of his films have grossed past at least combined $8 billion, which is nothing to scoff at. You know, when I say this man has his own money, I mean, he has his own money. no, seriously, I swear to God, I'll put it this way. Steve, you remember my infamous rat story?
The one I heard 1,000 times? Yeah, I think I can remember it.
Right. So before you came in the picture, I will say even the footnotes of his life become other people's highlights. And I mean, he invited me to the millennial back in 1999, December 31st. Wow. Something I'm sure he doesn't remember.
About that. Yes.
Right. Exactly.
Bill Clinton, you know how many- the inauguration.
Do you know how many times I've told the story of Mary Tyler Moore running over Liz Taylor's wheelchair on my Jordan, on my corns? That was my original rat story. Anyway, I can talk and talk about his achievements until the cows come home. But literally what hit home for me personally was his really brave, rigorous act of complete honesty and vulnerability, which is a word you don't often hear, especially in the Black community, and his book, Will, amongst other things that he's achieved. This intro is now 90 minutes long and the show's over. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Will Smith to the Questlove Supreme. Thank you.
Yes.
There you go. Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Yo,
have you set up lights in your apartment?
Huh? Yeah.
Were you set up lights right now in your...
So here's the thing. I took this interview seriously. Right. So.
No, this is the cleanest Zoom display I've ever seen in my life. Like,
yo, I feel very ashamed right now. Like,
I was like, it's my man. You know, he asked me to, you know, to come on. It's Philly. It's all of that. It's like, I got to make, you know, I don't know what he needs or what he wants to use. Like, I want to represent properly.
It's just audio, right, bro. You could have been on the couch.
Anyway, this is. So actually, I want to start off, and I'm going to go against format and just sort of make this a free round for everyone on the show, all of us here. Hello, Team Supreme, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go.
Anyway, so I want to know, what did you do this morning?
Me or Team Supreme?
No, you.
You don't care
me.
About
me. Oh, I thought you said you were saying team.
I'm just curious what your average morning is like nowadays.
So I usually wake up about 4 a.m. So like 4 to 6 is my private quiet time. Like no phone, no nothing. I think, I meditate, I read. It is like my favorite time of the day. That there's very few days I'm not awake at 4 a.m. and 4 to 6 is how I get just centered and clear about what I'm going to do in the course of a day. And some days I'll go back to sleep from 6 to 7:30 or something like that and start my day. And some days if I'm energized, I'll get on the treadmill at 6 and start my day.
See, I already feel like I'm doing this wrong. No, because Grace told me, like, Grace's time is 5 a.m. And that's the one promise that I sort of like backtracked on. Mm-hmm. You know, yes, we'll get up together at 5 a.m. We'll meditate, we'll do our yoga. Da, da, da. And, you know, and then I went back to my normal 10 a.m. routine. Mm-hmm. But, man,
you can't underestimate the power of watching the sunrise. There's something that energizes a human body about seeing the sunrise. It like wakes you up with it. It's like you get in sync mm-hmm. with like how the world is moving.
How long has that been a practice for you?
Probably about 3 years.
Oh, man. Okay.
It started happening. I'm not a big sleeper. I rarely, if ever, sleep for, you know, 5 hours straight.
Really?
You know, yeah.
Wait,
rarely. I'll sleep for 4 hours, up for a couple hours, and then sleep for 3 hours, three more hours. Like, but very rarely will I sleep. I never sleep 8, right? I'll sleep a combination of 4, up for a couple hours, and then back for 4, but never 8 hours straight.
Okay, so can I ask you? Now, that's where I have excelled in life. If you feel like you've slept 8 hours or more, do you feel like you wasted the day? And I know from reading your book, I know that for you, the idea of hard work, performative hard work is like job one. So letting the idea of that go. I'll give an example. This Saturday, I've never gotten up at 2 p.m. I slept for 15 hours.
Yeah.
I've never slept for 15 hours ever. And yeah. I didn't even feel tired. I just opened my eyes and was like, wait, it's 2 p.m. What the fuck?
Yeah.
And she let me sleep for 15 hours. Like, for you, is sleeping 8 hours like, that's a wasted. I could have saved the world in the last 3 hours.
I used to feel like that. It used to feel like, you know, I didn't want to be asleep. I always felt like I was missing something.
That's what they used to say in the 90s.
Yeah, I know. that was a Quincy Jones joint. Mm. It's like, you know, boy, you have enough time to sleep when you did. You know, so so I prefer like I take naps, right? You know, I'll lay down for 30 minutes at lunch, you know, and you know, get a 30, and I'll be refreshed. A 30 minute nap at lunch. I'm like really refreshed, but I don't like the feeling of sleeping all the way through in that way. But every couple of months, I'll definitely get one of those 15-hour joints. Like, you know, if you do that every couple of months, I'll get that full day where you just shut it down and return that sleep debt. But that 4 to 6 practice is a new thing. I wouldn't miss that for anything. Like that up and the whole world belongs to me, and it's private and it's quiet. It's like that's when I do my best thinking.
And you're still able to do that while you're taping movies and stuff too, while you're shooting?
Yeah. So usually with a movie, if I have an early call, it works perfectly because I'm up a couple hours before anyway, and I'll just continue my day. And usually on those kind of days, I'll
sleep at lunch. I take a nap at lunch.
That's where you get your nap. Gotcha.
Yeah.
What does meditation look like to you? Because we talk about meditation a lot on this show. What does it mean to you?
The big thing for me with meditation is no pressure. I don't pressure myself to do anything but just watch my mind, to just be aware of all of the things that are coming up, to just notice, damn, I hate meditating today, right? And I take the time to just notice what's going on with my mind. I don't wrestle with it. I let it do what it do, baby.
Do you do trans meditation?
No, I don't go that far. Like I have, as you read the book, so you know, I've done ayahuasca and things like that, which is, you know, it's a form that, you know, for me, that's a form of meditation.
I didn't read it. Wait, can you just tell me? Oh man, don't spoil it. I'm like,
I don't want you to spoil it.
But the Will, ayahuasca, I'm say, so curious.
I was gonna tell you, Will, what did I hit you the last time? I was telling you that I was waiting for this very specific. I wanted my first ayahuasca journey to be with this African couple that does it. And a funny thing happened to them, which is they were now like, you know what's happening? This Will Smith book has just come out and suddenly we're in demand. So now I got to work.
I love
ayahuasca, peyote, mushrooms. These are all family, right?
So ayahuasca is really, really different. So you know the scene in Black Panther, right?
Mm-hmm. Where he goes to the ancestral plane.
Yeah, the ancestral plane, right? Okay. So that's the African, that's taken from the African version of ayahuasca, Iboga, right? So it is as vivid as they depicted in the movie. You like actually go meet, see, talk to people, you come back, right? Like that's, the movie is not an exaggeration of what the experience is.
Wow.
Right. The only thing that was potentially a little bit of an exaggeration is the directing of the experience. It takes you where it wants to take you. You don't get to like pick.
Yeah.
You just have to surrender. Maybe at higher levels, people can pick. Right. But like, yeah, I never got to pick. I got dragged. Right. So.
What did it drag you into? Who did you get to talk to? Did you talk to any people from your past or whatever?
My father came to me, you know, so that's what I was saying. So I had that experience. My father, he came to me and showed me where he was living, you know.
Wow.
Yo, what's up? This is Fonte Sigolo from Team Supreme. Black representation in media is very important to me. I think it's important to have our stories told by people who look like us and who have shared in our common experiences. Some of my earliest influences were Donnie Simpson. I would also say Tom Joyner, Angela Stribling, Sherry Carter. They were just people who told our stories with a lot of class and dignity and were big inspirations to me. The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black Stories, Black Truths. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now, they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcast, The Center Black Voices. It's NPR Noir. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get podcasts.
All right, y'all. You know what season it is. Tis the season for spring breaking and planning our summer travel. And if you're like me, you're already in your Airbnb app trying to find which spot is right for you. Now, listen, while I'm looking to spend all this money, what I'm not doing is thinking about making money with Airbnb. See, you got to change your mind state. Make the money while you're spending the money. How, you say, Laia, do I make the money? Well, you host at your house. And I know what you're thinking. I mean, my whole house? Well, no, you don't have to do your whole house. I mean, you could do a room or, you know, do the whole house. So make some money while you're spending some money this summer. I'm trying to tell you, your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
I will say to you, Laia, that sort of on that path, I think the lightest version of it is, well, there are sound journeys you can take. For some people, step up from that is sound journeys with mushrooms. Mm-hmm. Some people do ayahuasca. Mike Tyson talks about doing toad, which is even more extreme. Mm. But basically, it's almost like you should really be open. For me, at least, in trying to heal like a lot of the childhood trauma. Yeah. First of all, I mean, there's literally no human alive, especially Black human, that has not dealt with trauma, real trauma. Mm-hmm. Right. And for a lot of us, we sort of normalized the trauma. Like I normalized, right. Like, well, yeah, your dad's supposed to beat your ass until, you know, da 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 da. See, I'm right. A good person now because my dad beat my ass. and it's really only until like maybe a year and a half ago where I just had to settle that, yes, even though my dad loved me, that was
abusive.
The highest form of abuse, and really like damn it. So I mean, as a result,
my mama hear me say that too. Mm-hmm.
Right, but that's the thing. Like as Black people, a lot of what we hold on to for how we were reared, it comes from slavery, and that's sort of the one aspect that we can't let go. Which, for me at least, in reading Will's book, the reason why I say like the vulnerability and the honesty is really unprecedented, especially like I really want Black people. And I know like people are, you know, attracted to the fact that like, you know, all, everything that's happened in the last year or so mm-hmm. in Will's life, that they're coming there for that, like that dirt or whatever. And it's really not about that. It's about really coming to grips. You guys remember on past episodes where I told you about the laughing song, right? George Johnson.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
How it just hit me that emotions were literally illegal.
Yep.
For 300 years.
Yeah, exactly.
You couldn't laugh. And if you know, the reason why they invented the terminology, barrels of laughs, was because slaves had built a barrel full of water. So if you felt yourself about to laugh on the plantation, instead of meeting the ire and the anger of the overseer, you would dunk your head in the water to suppress the sound.
Laugh in the barrel. Wow.
Yeah. Same for anger. Who you sassing at? Who you getting smart with? You better not cry before I give you something to cry about. Like all those things that we attribute to Black parents, like all that shit came from slavery. So we literally could not show emotions. It was illegal, or else you'd face lashes. And as a result, I think the defensive thing that we invented, like the same way we invented soul food out of the worst food ever, Black people invented cool. Mm-hmm. Cool as a defensive mechanism, like not showing emotions, not being too affected, holding back, not
good.
Well, we from Philly, we said not drawing, you know what I mean? Yeah.
I'm good. Yeah.
And as a result, it's really damaged us. Like if you really think about it, the last Black person that I saw really on display of this vulnerability was the last 30 seconds of She's Out of My Life. Like who's willing to be that open right. about their life. And so for me, why did you feel as though now's the time? Because when I read this book, I was relieved because someone went before me. You know, like in the Three Stooges where they do the army thing and like, who's the first to volunteer? And everyone steps mm-hmm. backwards and leaves. Yeah. Like, seriously, like everyone in my life's like, yo, we can't wait till you stop writing these bullshit ass music books and really, and really no, for real. It's like, you know, I know there are people like, yo, no more music books. Like, tell us some real shit about your life. Yeah. And literally when Will's book came out, I felt like, okay, maybe it is safe to cross the street a little bit without getting run over. So why did you feel like now is the time to really share your story and to be as honest and open about it?
Yeah, I think I'm sure you all have been watching me publicly for the last
30 years.
But the last couple, ever since. Yeah.
I mean, come on.
You know, I think first and foremost, I can feel the wave coming, right? So there's a consciousness shift that is happening right now, right? So a couple of things are happening. More people are realizing that there is no happiness to be derived from any material conditions that you can put together, right? People are starting to realize that no matter how great your job is, no matter how great your family is, no matter how perfectly you cultivate your material conditions, they are unsustainable. You have a perfect marriage and family, and then there's a storm and three people in your family get killed.
When well, the there's COVID, you know,
there's like COVID that, and shuts down and you lose
that
your job
shut everything
and,
down.
And everything yeah. shuts it down. Right. So people are realizing that material circumstances are unsustainable. Right. So if that's the case, if it's the case that I can lose anything, how can I possibly enjoy my time here? Right. And more people are waking up slowly to that idea. And people are starting to realize that you are the only problem you have to solve, right? That your mind and how you are with this world is the answer, right? How to be with your circumstances is the answer, not trying to get your circumstances perfect, right? Okay, so... And this is the first time I've been asked this question this way, so I'm struggling to say it right.
Is this the first time you've been asked this question
in this way? So I've never been asked a question. The answer I want to give, I'm trying to form it in my mind right now, right? So the realization that I had is it doesn't matter so much what happens to me. It doesn't matter what happens in my life. It doesn't matter what happens with my family. It doesn't matter what happens with my career. It doesn't matter what happens in my life as much as it matters how I think about what happens to me and how I manage myself in interacting with what happens to me, right? Wow. So the answer that I realized is you can't create loving interactions from unloving behavior. You can't. You're trying to love and be loved at the deepest part of your being. You want to love and be loved. You cannot create it. If you're scared, if you're angry, if you're resentful, if you're hungry and craving, if you're holding any of those poisons in your heart, you can't create what you want. You can only create the opposite of what you want. Right?
Oh, God, man.
The hard ones, that's, Will. Those are
that's
the hard
an earful.
Ones.
So all of that to say,
okay,
I knew that if I was going to be happy, I couldn't be scared of what people were going to say. That I had to thoroughly and comfortably be me just as I am, with no fucks given about what anybody thinks or memes.
So being, so to that point, in terms of being you and in writing this book, how did you decide what to tell and what not to tell? You know what I'm saying? And not necessarily in terms of being, having any shame about any parts of your life, but just as an artist, having that line of saying, listen, these are some parts of myself that I choose to keep to myself, and I have the right to own myself, you know, so as to not let these things define me. You know, how do you decide? What was, take me through the process of deciding how you wanted to tell your story.
So the only thing I was prepared and still am prepared to say anything and everything that's true for me, because I only get stronger by being vulnerable. I used to think I got weaker by being vulnerable. I only get stronger by being comfortable to share who and what I am freely.
Come on,
the line that I drew is I didn't want my words to be weaponized against people I love.
100%.
Okay.
Right? So I wanted to tell my story, and the difficulty I was having was telling my story without telling Jada's story.
Right.
To, you know, to tell
telling my, Jeff's story, whatever.
Yeah, without, you know, telling Alfonso's story or telling Jeff's story. You know, so what I did is when I finished the book, I had what I was calling a writer's camp. And for 2 weeks, I called everybody that I mentioned in the book down to Miami. And I read every word of the book to all of the people in the book so they would know what I was saying about them. Okay. And then I let them respond and made adjustments and things
Ready,
like
Amir?
That.
Everybody?
Yeah. Right. Oh, no. It was...
Ready, Roxy?
It was the first... well, there were a couple people who declined. there were a couple people who declined. It was the first time my mother and I had ever talked about my father being abusive. We literally, I was 52 years old at the time, and my mother and I literally never talked about the fact that my father beat her up. And her hearing me read the chapter was the first time that the conversation came up between us. And you know, it was gut-wrenching, but it was deeply purifying. And, you know, when I was talking about that idea of blocks to love, it's like the fact that my mother and I couldn't talk about that, there was a barrier between us, right? And we loved each other, but we weren't really connecting in honesty and authenticity. Right. So there's always a little bit of a facade because we both know we're just not going to talk about it. So it just creates a little bit of a barrier. And neither one of us wants that. We want to love each other wide open and vulnerably, you know. So for me, it was cleaning out all of the barriers and the blocks that I had to loving the people in my life, you know, and it's those traumas make us close our hearts. You know, the worst crime you can commit against another human being is to assassinate them in your heart. And, you know, once your heart is closed to somebody, as nice as you think you're being, as cordial as you pretend to be, all I said was, but you said it with a closed heart, which the person understands clearly that you don't give a fuck about them. Right. Oh, and it's like you can't hide it. Right. It's like
because you're not showing that you're open to seeing them in a different way.
Right. You'll be surprised how much your heart is closed to people you say you love. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's like they know it and they can feel it And sometimes we can't feel it. We think if we treat someone nicely and respectfully that we're being loving. But if your heart is closed to them, it's not. Behind every word is, I really don't give a fuck.
And they hear it. And they feel
and they hear it, right? They hear it no yeah. matter what you try to say and no matter how much you try to cover it up.
All right, y'all. You know what season it is. Tis the season for spring breaking and planning our summer travel. And if you're like me, you're already in your Airbnb app trying to find which spot is right for you. Now, listen, while I'm looking to spend all this money, what I'm not doing is thinking about making money with Airbnb. See, you got to change your mind state. Make the money while you're spending the money. How, you say, Laia, do I make the money? Well, you host at your house. And I know what you're thinking. I mean, my whole house? No, you don't have to do your whole house. I mean, you could do a room or, you know, do the whole house. So make some money while you're spending some money this summer. I'm trying to tell you, your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, so let me ask you something, because I'm this is the one, this is probably my major downfall in the journey I'm in right now. Like, I'm literally I'm in a maze with my eyes with blinders on. And if I could just figure out this one thing, I think the world opens. But when I tell you, I literally, now there's a book I just discovered like maybe last week called, I think it's called The Big Step, where the author speaks of how we set limitations for ourselves. And for me though, I am trying to figure out, and the problem is I'm trying to figure out how to open my heart. And this is stuff I kind of shared on the show before, but
yeah,
you know, like when you live, I feel like when you live in fight or flight mode, that you can either go with your brain or your heart. And I found that it was way safer for me to go with my brain.
Right.
Like, I got to be the smartest guy. I got to be the most achieving guy. I got to be the provider. I got to be, you know, the hero to everyone. Right. And I'm currently in a situation now where I'm hitting a brick wall because I'm almost like the Tin Man. Like, I technically don't know the first steps in how to open my heart.
You know? The fundamental premise is flawed. The fundamental premise that you're safer using your head is wrong. That's not true. Right. So you can only make an intellectual mess with that fundamental premise. Right.
I know this.
So going all the way back to the beginning, the belief system that has to grow is that the only safety is in your well-wishing and the authentic care and concern for whoever's in front of you. You see a samurai kill somebody and then pray over the body. The samurai, it's not like, you know, fuck him. You know, that motherfucker shouldn't have been tripping, right? It's like the samurai is prepared to kill, you know, that's what they do. But they spend half their lives learning, you know, the techniques of kill for the purpose of defending people. And then they spend the second half of their life learning how to not have to. You absolutely, positively want to be able to defend people, and you want to be able to build, and you want to be able to create, and you want to do all of that. If you're doing it with your heart closed, if you're doing it where you don't give a fuck about people, it can't go well. And you can have all the money and you can do all of that.
Nah, people are your greatest resource.
Yes. That's what I say all the time.
Yeah, people are your greatest resource.
When people know that you care, right? They give you so much room to make mistakes and stuff like that. And your only responsibility is for people to be able to see in your eyes that you legitimately care. And you might have to make hard decisions, you know, and somebody's mind might be so defiled that they can't respond well, and you got to go samurai, right? But you don't do it joyfully. You hate that you had to, you know, cut that
check
person's
a nigga.
Head off.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Can I? All right, so let me ask you a question, because for me, like, I put myself in almost every situation that you spoke about in the book, but there's one particular situation that I felt that you handled with ease that I otherwise wouldn't have handled. Now, only starting maybe 3 years ago, really not even 3 years ago, like 2 years ago, I finally decided to do something on my own without, you know, the collaborative narrative that I do. You know, everything I've done has been a collaborative with everything.
And
so I'm thinking that if I'm getting a phone call in Detroit and it's Quincy Jones telling me to come out to his birthday party, and you're asked to audition in front of all those people at his birthday party, and he happens to have your current lawyer still with you now, I believe.
Yeah.
Like, to, you know, draw up the papers and make this show happen, I would have instantly not only thought of millions of reasons to say no. Chances are I'm like, thank you very much, but, you know, I'm going back to Detroit to go back to my group and stay with my group. And I wouldn't have even gotten the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, because I would have instantly, out of obligation, chosen that first step in my career, which is just the group. And so how did, and you, I don't know if you just glossed over or whatever, but did you realize that that was the first paradigm shift, that your life is not going to be the same? Like, once you stepped on that airplane and went back to Detroit, how do you explain to Jeff and, you know, how do you explain to these people that you made a life-changing decision?
Yeah.
And of course, it's 24 hours.
Well, we were in a really desperate financial situation, right? So, like, we had gone from Grammy winners back to one hotel room.
Yeah. By the way, I really hate how you sort of separate yourself from Ann in this corner, which is actually my favorite record of yours. I'm sorry.
That's so crazy.
It's literally my favorite record of yours. But go ahead.
That's crazy. But yeah, that one hurt bad. That one hurt bad.
I'm not jiving you. Like, I feel like, and then she bit me. It was like, that's one of my favorite Halloween songs ever. But
I Jeff was on the beatbox. I did fuck with that one. Jeff was on the beatbox.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway,
there was one or two on. Unfortunately, the public did not concur.
But it worked out for you, because if Quincy and Benny don't see that performance of Mike Tyson on Arsenio,
that's true. Yeah.
So that album still holds heavy for you because that's the moment that changed, you know.
Yeah, no, when I look back at it, I can see the value definitely when I look back. But to the first question about, so for me, I've never been the kind of person that felt like I had to stay with my friends to be loyal. I felt like my loyalty was to their growth and expansion. My loyalty was y'all got to keep up.
Original LeBron.
Right. Yeah. You know, it's like, no. It's like, Robin Harris had a joke. What was it? You talking about Robin, when you get rich and famous, you going to change? You goddamn right I'm going to change.
Right. Address going to change? You motherfuckers?
Ain't going to have no change.
Right. You know. But the idea is, for me, it's like we got to climb. None of us loved our childhoods. None of us loved what our current situations were at the time. Then if that's the case, we got to climb, we got to grind, right? And it was always painful for me when somebody couldn't keep up, but I would much rather keep going and send them some help than slow down and let them pull us all down, right? Right, so I've always felt like a responsibility to my squad, but we gotta go, right? We gotta climb, right? And for me at that time, that meant no drugs, everybody gotta train. If you wanna do something different, you can, you just can't do it here. Cause like we are a crew of dreamers and we wanna see how close to the sun we can get, you know? So, and that mentality, you know, Charlie Mack.
It was so good to see you, Charlie, and Jeff had an IG conversation mid-COVID. It's funny. I wasn't supposed to say this, but I kind of did call Charlie and get some cheating things before we did this conversation. But I wanted you to speak on that friendship between y'all three men, because really that was kind of like the greatest way to see the three of you. I don't think it was no other interview, no big, you know, networks.
Yeah.
Just y'all three just busting it up.
Chopping it up on IG Live. Charlie Mack first out the limo, cuz.
Come on, Charlie. Come on, hands with the people.
You know, we talked about that in the IG Live, and I talked about it a little bit in the book. It's like Charlie's a dreamer. Charlie's a big, giant dreamer.
Thank God for it.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, Jeff is a little more cocooned, right? Like Jeff wants his spot. And if everybody agrees to go, Jeff is going to go, right? But Jeff climbs in another way. Jeff climbs with talent. He spends, you know, 16 hours a day behind his turntable. So his climbing was in a different way. And, you know, JL, who's my manager, is like one of the most well-read people that I've ever met. We gravitated to each other, growing up in Philly. And it was like, we were doing the stuff that everybody else was doing, and we was getting into trouble that everybody else was getting into, but we all kind of had our eyes on a different future for ourselves. We all knew we were doing more than this. And you know, your friends are critical. It's like one bad friend can blow your whole shit in one night.
Yo, Will. One time you gave a speech, I never will forget this. Shout outs to your baby sister, Ellen, who's a great woman. Mm-hmm. I came to a party you threw for when the Beckhams came to LA for the first time. And you gave a speech about friendship and why it's so important to be meticulous about friends. Can you just, people need to hear that for a second, because it ain't just the rich and the famous. It's everybody. Yeah, no,
it is, you know, there's a couple of quotes I've heard around that. And it's attributed to Confucius. He says, look at the five people you spend the most time with, and that's who you are.
That's who you are, yeah. Show me who you're with, I'll show you who you are. Yeah.
Right? And, you know, I heard that. I was probably 18 the first time I heard that, and I was like, ooh,
And it was like, okay, well, if that's the case, then I want this one, two, three, you know. But it's like who your friends are is, you know, one of the most critical decisions, you know, especially as a teenager. That's one of the most critical decisions that you can make. If the five friends that you associate with are straight A students, you're probably going to learn how to be a straight A student. If the five friends you associate with carry guns and sell drugs, you're probably going to end up carrying a gun and selling drugs, right? So it's like, you know, human beings are creatures of example, and we fall into those lines of who we're with, who you lay down with, who you share that bed with is probably the most important decision
you will ever make in your life.
In,
I'm golden.
Talk that shit. Right? Listen,
you know what I mean?
Listen.
Right. So it's like choosing your friends and your closest associates is how you fertilize your dreams.
Ooh.
Right. You can't have a life that's better than your associations. Like it's impossible. Your life is a team effort, right? So you can't have a better life than your team.
All right, y'all. You know what season it is. Tis the season for spring breaking and planning our summer travel. And if you're like me, you're already in your Airbnb app trying to find which spot is right for you. Now, listen, while I'm looking to spend all this money, what I'm not doing is thinking about making money with Airbnb. See, you got to change your mind state. Make the money while you're spending the money. How, you say, Laia, do I make the money? Well, you host at your house. And I know what you're thinking. I mean, my whole house? Well, no, you don't have to do your whole house. I mean, you could do a room or, you know, do the whole house. So make some money while you're spending some money this summer. I'm trying to tell you, your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Mother's Day is coming, and mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I gotta admit, when I finished the book, that part of me felt not quasi-deflated, but the fact that I made a decision like maybe 2 years ago that, okay, I'm really going to concentrate and get my thing together. I'm going to direct this movie, and then I'm going to go higher and higher and achieve and achieve and earn and achieve and achieve. And then, you know, you told the last six chapters, you know, is a doozy of the book. Again, no spoiler alerts, but, you know, something happens in September of 2011 that sort of changes the whole trajectory of your life and whatnot. And when I read that you had to take, you know, like you had to take in a total assessment of everything that you were, and it wasn't about how much you made and how much you, you know, how many records you broke or whatnot, and you kind of had to start all over again. like what I know that that level of achievement and that level of fame can be somewhat addicting.
Right.
So now in 2021, 10 years after the fact that you had that, there's a story you tell about Jada's 40th birthday party, in which I kind of feel that's your paradigm shift to led you to where you are right now. Well, for starters, it's almost like, what are your life goals right now? Because when
you conquered everything else.
Well, more than that, I think he discovered that none of that matters. And to me, I actually felt like, oh shit, wait a minute. Like, I'm trying to win this Oscar so I could do more movies and get more power and get more power and get more money and get more power and get more money. And then I realized, oh man, that's not going to make me happy, because this book is basically like a cheat sheet of, you know, him 5 years into where I want to be. So for you now, like, what is important? Because I know you're not saying throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Oh,
like,
no.
Forget my achievements, forget my career.
Not at all.
But what's the priority now?
So what happened is all of my climbing and all of my achieving and everything that I was trying to build is I was trying to fill an internal hole with external achievements. Right. And it's impossible. Right. You can't make enough money. You can't have enough sex. You know, you can't win enough championships that to fill a traumatic void inside yourself. And my traumatic void.
So you're saying that internally at one point you felt like, well, shit, I made 8.5 billion in movies, like, I should have did 20.
You're right. And that's the carrot on the stick, that with there is no end to achieving. There's no end. It's an infinite. Yeah. There's an infinite amount of money and beautiful women and yachts. And right, you know, so what I realized is that what I was trying to fill is, at the end of the day, I didn't like me, right? So at the end of the day, I didn't feel good about me, and I needed those things so I could feel good about me, right? And all the way back to being a little boy in chapter one is, you know, watching my father beat up my mother and I didn't do anything really got me. It really damaged something inside of me. You know, the opening line of the book, you know, that I talk about, I've always felt like a coward, right? And people would look, well, dude, you did this and you did that and you did this and all that. And
it don't matter.
None of the external stuff fixes your internal impression of yourself, right?
That initial wound.
That initial wound, right? So the journey for me came down to, well, if I don't have all of those things, like, who am I if people don't clap with my movie? If people don't cheer when I walk in? What if people booed when I walked in? Would that change who I am, right? And I realized that I had given away my self-esteem. It's supposed to be self-esteem, but I had given away my self-esteem to achievements and to what my woman feels about me, to how other people view me and what they say about me. And I had trapped myself in trying to uphold an image of who I was rather than being who I really was. I wasn't comfortable being who I really was, because I felt like the world would punish me for that. You end up acting in real life.
Right.
You're just pretending. Wow. You're just pretending all the time.
Yeah.
Right. So one of the things for me, every time I've walked out on the Tonight Show and I hear y'all playing, invariably, I have a little bit of a little boy insecurity because the Roots are the real Philly group.
Oh, wait, really?
The Roots real Philly group.
Oh, no, no. Amir
is the real
Philly dude.
No, don't say this, Will, because literally. No. This is what I have to say. Mm-hmm. Literally, when I'm in any situation that's fearful, lately it's been giving speeches. Mm-hmm. I hate giving speeches. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I think about, you're literally the most confident curtain walker of the Tonight Show. I know who looks down. Mm-hmm. There are people that run to the couch because they're so insecure. There are people look down. Like, you're the first person I know that takes a second to walk out. You come out like, you know, like you're in Rome in a Colosseum, you're ready to conquer. So literally, when I get to my very small space before I give any speech mm-hmm. whatsoever, I think I literally had to vicariously do a what will Will Smith. So please don't even tell me
that someone has to like push you. Every time I've ever walked out on that show and I hear y'all playing, I cannot do anything but get myself together to try to look cool for the Roots.
So you're psyching yourself up?
Wow.
That's some big Philly shit y'all talking about.
We're literally chasing our tails here.
Yeah.
Because you always got your poker face, right? So I'm looking at you. I'm looking at you trying to get the light. And you know, you give me the nod and you right there. And I was like, it's the poker face. He's doing the poker face. I can't. The worst one of all was, remember the one where I did like the five entrances?
Yes, that's my favorite of all time.
All I could think was, you thought I was the corniest motherfucker that walked out on the show.
Oh, this is so funny. Because in my mind, I like, literally
Will is that killing moment, this shit.
So there's, all right. So just to recap for everyone, there was a period after, if you remember the Michelle Bachmann incident,
yes.
Where suddenly they understand that, the Roots customized walk-ons for people. Mm. Suddenly, people wanted to do these epic ass walk-ons. Like literally, Will Smith and Steve Martin, all their walk-ons are very epic. Yeah. Now that's funny because I felt unworthy. Like when you walk out, I felt like, man, we're just the minions from West Philly that isn't, you know, on his level.
Well, wait, can we for a Philly moment real quick? Because Will, how does it feel? You kind of started this wave. I mean, outside of Philadelphia International and Gambling Huff, but this huge wave of like Philly talent. What does it look like fast forward to not just see the Roots, right? But to see Kevin Hart, Jasmine. Like Philly is like killing it.
Yes.
What does it feel like to be like the kind of daddy of all of this?
You know, and it's so funny because like, and this is why working on your mind is the only work to do, right?
We need to talk more.
right? So for me, I perceived myself as an outcast from that group. Right? It was AI was the real Philly dude.
But he wasn't from Philly, from Virginia.
He wasn't from Philly, but he was holding it down for Philly. That was the look of repping for Philly. Amir is the look of repping for Philly.
But you the look of making it from Philly.
Right, yeah, so.
But you know what? But I will say this. I will interject as a non-Philly person.
Please.
As an outsider's perspective, to give you a little context on that, Will. Mm-hmm. I think for you, you just became to embody like so much other things, like you became bigger than Philly, you became bigger than, you know what I'm saying, than the United States. Like you just became Will Smith. It was not, no, this is Will from Philly. Right. It's just, no, this is Will Smith. So I think, and maybe from the standpoint of, you know, maybe you didn't see that you were getting that love. And so it, like you said, the cool factor, quote unquote, that Amir might have had or AI might have had. I just think you were just in a whole nother stratosphere and. Yeah. People fuck with you. I mean, we all, because even now, like when I have conversations about your career and stuff, I'm like, bruh, Independence Day and all that shit aside, he's the DJ, I'm the rapper. That is a classic hip hop album. Yep. Like, this nigga got a legit classic under his belt. Like, don't get it fucked up. Mm-hmm. And I always wonder, did you ever feel that you weren't respected as an MC, you know what I'm saying, once you went so crazy in movies and your career really took off?
Wait, let me add on to that and let you answer, Will. I just want to let you know that I was one of those listeners. You and Jeff had went to DAS the night that He's the DJ and I'm the Rapper came out.
Yep.
And you had a battle with Steady B.
Steady B, yeah.
Man.
Listen, Tariq and I heard that Munchie Chi line.
Yeah.
You always talk about that.
I don't know if it was freestyle, whatever, but like that's the first time I heard someone like play the dozens and rhyme at the same time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he called Steady B like, you big Munchie Chi. And that that moment was the first bonding that Tariq and I ever had. Like, we called each other like, did you hear that? He called him a Munchie Chi. Like, and it was all over school the next day. Like, after that, it was almost like you could do no wrong. Like, so there was never a thing like, oh, that boy corny, whatever. Like, literally, that battle, I wish I had that on tape.
But answer the question, though, because I want to know what he...
But yes, please.
Yeah, yeah. Do you feel you get those respect, that respect as an MC?
More now than during that time.
Than back then.
So I feel like when people look back with a little bit of history, people be, yo, that was kind of interesting. Yeah, that he wasn't half bad.
Were your parents didn't understand?
What it was is Jeff and Ready Rock would body anybody. So that's really, so I was in between Jeff and Ready Rock. So I felt supported in that way. Like, nobody could beat Jeff. Yeah, right. And what Ready Rock was doing was just, you know, he was one of one, right? In terms of beatbox. So there was like nobody really even to battle him. So I always felt like as a crew, we would win. Like, if people wanted to go head up, I felt like as a crew, we would win. But I never felt like, because the acting came in so quick, I felt like I never developed the level of rhyme skill that I felt like I could if I had an opportunity. Had you
stayed in it,
to stay in it, you know. And it's like, and then I got scared, so I was trying to make hit records instead of making what I was feeling, right? So I got twisted in there in a way that jammed me up.
But Charlie said that nobody was there, not even trying to battle you on the streets because you was killing it so hard. And then, not to mention the battling lyrically, but then when it came to fisticuffs, you wasn't a game neither. That's what happened on the street.
No, that was, listen, I had to learn how to fight quick. So, you know, that was the one thing that was always a surprise to people. It's like, I had so much, you know, anger and resentment build up. I would sucker punch somebody quick. Right. So I was like, just fight me then. Fight me then. Right. If I'm soft, fight me.
People think they know, they have no idea.
All right, y'all. You know what season it is. 'Tis the season for spring breaking and planning our summer travel. And if you're like me, you're already in your Airbnb app trying to find which spot is right for you. Now, listen, while I'm looking to spend all this money, what I'm not doing is thinking about making money with Airbnb. See, you gotta change your mind state. Make the money while you're spending the money. How, you say, Laia, do I make the money? Well, you host at your house. And I know what you're thinking. I mean, my whole house? No, you don't have to do your whole house. I mean, you could do a room or, you know, do the whole house. So make some money while you're spending some money this summer. I'm trying to tell you, your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Mother's Day is coming, and mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day. Because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Can I ask a random Westbrook question, please?
Yep.
Because I know we getting tight with time, but you got a couple of my favorite shows that's either coming on or on right now.
I know,
and
right?
I just wanted to throw it out real quick.
First, oh my God, all, I forgot about Will Smith, The Business.
This I mean,
I'm trying to get life advice.
I want to kind of start with the most random of randoms, which is Cobra Kai.
Hey, listen, let me tell you something. Hey, let me tell you something, man. Look, Cobra Kai, bruh, even without the nostalgia, man, listen. When whole boy, when he went to that drawer and he pulled out that goddamn
top his ponytail.
Hey, listen, man.
That's season four.
When homeboy pulled that scrunchie out, when he pulled out the hair tie, I said, boy, let's go. Terry Silver is back. Bro, me and my wife. No, I'm not giving no spoilers. I mean, he's in the trailer. Like, okay. Season four of Cobra Kai was the best one.
Caleb Pinkett, my brother-in-law, brought that in.
Tell me about Caleb.
Caleb is, I trained him for about 5 years, and uh-huh. Now he started his own company. He's producing, so he brought in Cobra Kai to the family. So yeah, that he's
gold for life, right?
They just got nominated. They got nominated for SAG Awards last night. Cobra Kai's nominated.
And, you are making 80s babies' dreams come true. You don't understand.
Man, that show is fucking great. I love that show.
Because Caleb brought it in. I was like, Cobra Kai, the Karate Kid, right? Because, you know, we had done the Karate Kid with Jaden.
Right.
So we were already working with the IP.
I was wondering.
Are we going to get Jaden in future seasons of Cobra Kai? Can we get one?
I know, right?
We need a... I need Jaden. I need Hilary Swank.
That's a great idea.
That's a good question.
That's a really cool
idea. Yeah, Jaden got to show up at a damn as a substitute teacher
Taraji
or something.
Somewhere. Come too.
I know, right?
Taraji. Okay, that's right.
They're doing a brilliant job.
Okay, wait. World Earth.
Welcome to Earth.
Welcome to Earth. Just finished all the episodes, brother.
Yo.
First of all, can you break down to the world how National Geographic makes that shit look like that? Because I know you had to be in awe. Me and my boyfriend were like, what in the GoPro do they do?
Listen, it looks gorgeous. You know, there's a company called Newtopia that Westbrook we partnered with. And, you know, it's just Nat Geo knows how to do it. It's like, you know, they're getting us into some really beautiful places, some places that are untapped. It was like that and they just know how to shoot it. I don't even know what they're doing.
And I love your honesty. I love, because we can see your fear. So when you circle back on the fear episode told us about, I was like, thank you. I was going to say,
have they presented you something that you were like, I'm not ready this season. Like maybe next season.
Yeah, there's one that we pushed to next year. It was a trek to the South Pole. And it takes 9 days and it's tense all the way. For 9 days to the South Pole.
And I also want to big you up for having so many explorers of color on that.
Yes,
show.
Yes, exactly. You know what? That's I'm gonna shout out Nat Geo and Newtopia. You know, that is a part of their demand for the show. They are specifically mandating that all of the episodes be representative. So yeah, wow. So they are the truth.
And then there's Bel Air.
Oh, and the Bel Air reboot, yeah,
and
the drama Bel Air.
Yeah, Bel Air.
Yep,
it's about to be crazy.
As evidenced by, even though you know, the Globes have been blacked out
Yeah.
Are you ready with your acceptance speech for the Oscars?
Hey, man, you're not supposed to talk about that kind of stuff. No, I was talking earlier about that. For another thing, we had the Women of the Movement.
Yes!
Women of the Movement.
Oh,
yeah,
so we had that.
Yeah,
that USA.
With Jay-Z, produced that with Jay. Yeah, so that's coming out too. But I was just talking about the idea of I'm trying to be spiritually above the desire to win awards.
That's right.
I get it, but I told you, mm-hmm. I predicted.
You did.
I believe that Beyonce is going to win that night.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that you're going to win.
Love it.
And
I won't say no if they call my name.
I will be joining you three.
I won't be like, nah.
I believe it don't matter because the people love you. And that's what counts first. So there you go.
There you go. I love me, which is the new thing that I've gotten to. It's like, I feel good about me with or without an Academy Award.
Hallelujah.
One thing I wanted to ask you, Will, that I think would be helpful for a lot of people, when you talk about just your journey of just, you know, growing and, you know, kind of, you know, learning to love yourself and be happy and everything, you know, a lot of people can look and say, well, Will, that's easy. And nigga, you made I Am Legend. I mean, you know what I mean? Right. You know what I'm saying? You got a team, you got therapists, you got chefs, you got accountants, like you got all that. So to someone that's, you know, not in your position, what would you say is just that taking, what is step one of wanting to just be better and have a healthier relationship with yourself? What is step one, regardless of money, whatever, what's the first step you can take?
I think the first thing is to take an honest look at your life and how much of it do you like, right? Just take a really good look at your life, right? Because it is a journey. You do have to make a journey. And the journey is from, you know, unpleasant and unwanted circumstances to circumstances that you desire, right? And all the learning that you will have to do will be on your journey, right? So the first thing is to commit to transformation, right? There's no easy road. There's no easy road. You're going to have
no matter how many, all the therapists you want or whatever, the work is still yours.
The work is yours, and the work can be done in any circumstance. There's, like, you know, my grandmother used to say, God is everywhere, right? So you can find it anywhere. You just have to commit to transforming your life. First and foremost, you have to decide, you know what? I'm done. And I'm making a change. And the first changes are always going to be really obvious, right? The first changes of how you eat or who you associate with or a job you're doing that makes your fucking stomach hurt, right? You know what I mean? It's like the first couple of changes are going to be really, really obvious. And it's the courage to make the first change, right?
Gotcha.
Where people that are in bad relationships, you're in a bad physical condition, you're in a neighborhood you don't like, you're doing things that you know are hurting yourself. And it's like just the first step. Just find that first thing that you know damn well does not need to be in your life that you're babysitting.
Is there a book that you recommend?
There's a couple of things. It's really hard. I mean, other than Will, I think Will is one of the best books on the market right now for the transformation of your life, of everything I read. Look,
let me just let our listeners know, and for all of like, nigga, I don't read or whatever. No. I'm gonna let you know what time it is. It weird enough, having written six books myself, I didn't consider myself a reader. However, when I started, you know, when the pandemic started and I started doing my morning walks, first was podcasts, I've read so many books, audiobook style, which is still reading, like, so whatever for you snobs, like you have to read it first in order to read a book. No. I believe the way that you should take in Will's book, your first thing is, I definitely believe that you should listen to the audiobook, because it's different when it's coming from his voice.
Yeah.
And not to mention, he peppers the soundtrack that makes it feel like it's a podcast or whatever. Like, there's sound effects, reenactments, and him imitating Charlie Mack and all that stuff. I feel it, and it makes it endearing, especially those last six chapters. So, Fonte, I would actually recommend you, once you listen to that, that'll, you know, I think it's important that people really take in this book and hear what Will is saying. And I don't think it's a hashtag like only rich people stuff or whatever. Like, it's literally having the will to know you want to change. And especially where we are now, where a lot of us, and when I mean us, the hip hop nation, a lot of these cats are expiring in their 50s. Before they make 60. And I think a lot of that just has to do with the will to not want to move on. I think it's one thing, it's like when you get past 20, you're like, okay, I didn't get shot, so now I'm good. And then there's a point where we, you know, try to not have a stroke or make sure our health is right. Now I'm realizing that 60 on is going to be a crazier battle for us to have the will to live and all those things. So I would actually recommend Will's audiobook first as a central reading.
I was just going to ask the craziest question of all. I was just going to say, who going to battle Fresh Prince and Jazzy Jeff in the verses?
What? Hold on. You said who's going to...
Who's going to battle Fresh Prince and Jazzy Jeff in the verses? It was a joke, but it was
in the verses, who's going to battle Jazzy Jeff? Yeah, so I was like, battle? I was just having that conversation with somebody the other day, and somebody was like, you know, y'all should go with LL. I was like, LL?
LL, yeah, y'all tripping.
1,000 records. Y'all crazy? You are not going to have me getting bodied by L. Like,
there's a match. You know what I actually think? You know what I think your match would be?
Who?
I would think that Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince versus Naughty by Nature would be a good versus.
Okay. Okay. That might be fun.
I'm not mad.
I think it's evenly matched.
It's like,
I think that would be
L got like 20 albums. Like
real.
That boy got
LL and Buster, I think, are more of a match. I don't care if they feel that they're outclassed each other, but I feel like LL and Buster almost.
Yeah.
I was gonna ask you, Will, so do you ever get a point in terms of when you talk about like always striving and climbing and like building your team and keeping them like always wanting to elevate? Do you ever get to a point where you just realize, you know what, I'm good? Like, does I'm good ever happen in the mind of Will Smith?
I've looked at the first half of my life. I think about it in terms of climbing and collecting. And now the second half of my life is going to be given away. Right, is going to be giving it back. Right, so it was, you know, all of the things that I gathered through the, you know, striving and climbing, and now my attention is on developing my heart and developing my mind through giving and relating. Right, so part of the discovery for me is, my true happiness was never going to be achieved through collecting. And I'm realizing that the deepest joy that I am experiencing is through giving, right? And it was like, that's the real magic of love is giving, and it's in helping. It's in using what you are to assist someone else to become what they were meant to become, right?
It's do you think that's what's kept you and Jada together for so long? Is that that sounds like a foundational part of y'all? Yeah.
Yeah, we are full on climbers and seekers. We are developing our comprehension of what love is, and like everybody wants love, but nobody knows what it actually is. Right. So you want something, but you don't know what it is, right? And it's like the Marines always, there's a Marine quote, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Right? And it's like, there's a certain amount of self-reconstruction that has to happen in order to have any possibility at love. Your life has to be focused on transforming and correcting the false beliefs, the flawed perceptions, the poisonous ideas in your mind. Your entire life has to be centered on removing those things in order that you can hold the love that you're asking for from someone else.
Ooh-wee. Can I get away?
Ladies and gentlemen.
Shit.
Yeah. That was Willard Carroll Smith Jr.
Yeah.
This is not as big, right, man. There.
Yeah, that's big. That's big.
Ooh. Let us end it right there. Yeah, that's a mic drop for you.
Yeah, that's it. You're right.
Like literally, nah. I thought, like, you know, okay, Jimmy Jam's episode was 6 hours, so no, but we'll literally drop so much potent magic in this interview, and I really want to thank you for giving us letting us be the audience, not even giving us this audience.
Yeah.
Really,
nah, man. Seriously, man, and thank you too. I mean, I have no idea what it would be like to have spent, you know, the last 35 years of my life as one of the most famous people on the fucking planet. You know what I mean? So, you know, just for you, we appreciate you just sharing, just being so transparent about your journey and, you know, you and Jada's like married, like everything. Like, yeah. Y'all done been through shit that would have broke a whole bunch of other people. But I understand that y'all live incredible lives, and just for you to be so transparent about this, man, is really inspiring. And we just thank you just for everything, bro, for real.
And thank you for always coming back to Philly, because I tell Charlie he needs to keep doing those weekends. He hasn't, but still, when he was doing them, you was always there, always cleaning up the neighborhoods, always giving back. So
thank you. I appreciate y'all, man. Thank you.
Well, on behalf of Laia, Sugar Steve, Unpaid Bill, and Fonte, and myself, Will Smith, thank you very much. This is Questlove Supreme. We will see you on the next go round. Thank you.
Love Supreme is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait, did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Tired of restless nights? At Lisa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Lisa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus 2 free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.